Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would
call. Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. They say a week is a long time in rugby league. Well, in Supercoach, it feels more like a lifetime. Just last week, we were swooning over Jack Koscielny, and every man and his dog considered, at least considered, punting Luke Metcalf into the sun. 117 points later, and Metcalf is the talk of the town once again. This game can turn on a dime, but the real question is, will this week's treasure be next week's trash? Will Jesse Arthurs fulfill the SC Ballers prophecy and become the 2025 cash cow of the year? Or will Tom Starling lock down that elusive 70-minute hooking role for Ricky Stewart? Those are the big questions, but let's be honest. The main point of this podcast is to remind you that the SC Ballers are now balling. Well, at least some of us are. Joining me tonight is the 2014 third place overall finisher, currently ranked 624th after round two in 2025, coach of the Casabonitas, and upgraded to number two seed, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast, and congrats on the hot start to the season.
Yeah, thank you, Matty. Very excited to be Chip Tubes off his post as the number one introduction for the week. Very happy with that. It couldn't have gone better on the weekend. Very happy. Everyone performing well. I guess the only downside, as you said, the big Goz, I brought him in for Ryan Couchman. Rest in peace. Not to worry. He's been named this week. Everyone's on the up, and a very, very exciting trade week. The best of the year, I think. There's so many strategies you can choose to go depending on. I mean, I don't think you need to be worried too much about rank at the moment, but yeah, certainly lots of ways to go this week.
Certainly can't get too carried away about rank at the moment, and if you are ranked a bit lower, then there's a long way to come. I know I've personally been ranked above 30K the last three seasons and managed a very more respectable top 500 finish. So long way to go and plenty to play out, and it all starts this week with our round three trades. Also with us tonight, this guy lit up socials over the weekend despite not lighting up Supercoach, smashing records with viral TikTok posts. It's new social media influencer, regretful Jaden Campbell, captainer, and coach of Tubes' pods. Tubes, welcome back to SC Ballers podcast.
Thanks, Matt. I'm happy to be here, although it could be my last Tuesday session unless I'm bumped back up to first introduction.
I thought that was part of my contract,
but you guys can listen to me on the Sunday Snap moving forward with my co-host Jono.
You got it on strike.
Yeah. I'm happy. The Sunday Snap is a beauty because it's like a therapy session after a bad weekend. So by Monday I was up and about, and I'm taking the positives out of the weekend. Reece Walsh got 9, so no one's going to buy him, and he's going to explode soon. Luke Metcalf still can't play football, and everyone's going to hold him because he got 117 and potentially play him in their 17 for the next few weeks. He can play okay, but I think there's swings and roundabouts. I'm probably the best set up 66K ranked player out there at the moment. So
yeah, we'll Titans are just about to take their hot run too, Tubes. And setting the scene for the audience, you did put out a poll on Sunday, just asking what you should do, whether you should loot Ponga or take the risk and Captain Campbell. The crowd were overwhelmingly in favour of looping, but you clearly pointed out that it was the vibe and it was game theory and math, and you hit that. You sometimes just had to run with it, and that's what you did.
It was a double blow though, because it wasn't just captaining Campbell; it was playing Niyongi rather than take the AE, which was going to be Gajewski for me. And then Iongi only got 25 against the Tigers on a Sunday afternoon at CommBank Stadium. So I felt like whatever could go wrong did last week. And as you said, a week's a long time in Supercoach. And, yeah, looking forward to moving on to next week.
Yes, very much so. It was also a very good week for some of our ballers in our league. We had a massive uptick in our league this week. We've now got 1,488 teams in the SC Ballers 5K League, which is fantastic. Big shout out to the NRL Physio giving us a big plug there on Instagram, got us a bunch of new followers, and it is still not too late to join that league. 730444 730444 if you want to have your chance at the 5K. And I encourage you that even if you are ranked lower than Tubes, to join the league, because we will be having tons and tons of giveaways and more competitions through the season. So we still encourage you to sign up at baller.promo. That's where you'll get your name on the mailing list, and there'll be some cool stuff coming your way. We have some very, very exciting stuff in development. I heard the Sunday Snap Boys give it a bit of a plug the other night, which was great, but we'll have something very exciting going public soon, so massively pumped about that. Big shout out to Joel, coach of Year of the Eagle, who is the leader of the SC Ballers 5K League, and he is currently ranked 13th overall, which is amazing. He went second on the Saturday night, so he's right up there, and he's closely followed in second place and 23rd overall by Jakob, coach of Jakob. Although I'm going with Jakob until advised otherwise. The high scorer of the week was Joanna, the coach of the Swedish Vikings. She had a massive 1513, only a few more than you, Dan, I think. But yeah, big shout out to Joanna, and yeah, the league's flying, so make sure you join the league. One more time is 730444. Now, Dan, we just got to give one more shout out to coach of CMAX 86ers or whatever his name is, SC Baller contributor Chris, who's currently ranked, what's he up to?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think in the 200s.
247.
Yeah, 247. Wowee.
He is really up and about. Like, he's not even posting that much in our WhatsApp group. He's just kind of, you know, coming in, trying to
study.
He did, yeah, just studying. yeah, very, very high on himself after that 86th finish overall last year. So,
yeah,
well done to C-Mac. It's good to see him flying. He's just the ultimate footy head, really. Watches every game. Studies it well, doesn't go deep diving too much, just goes on who he likes and who he likes to watch and what players are looking good at the time. So yeah, it's a bold strategy, Carton, but he's doing really well.
He even managed to bring in Ola Kawatu, even though he didn't go that well. He still got rid of Hopgood, so he's a week ahead of the game there. Well done, Chris. Make sure, everyone, that you do catch us on our social media. We're pumping out a ton of content now. You can catch us on all the major channels: X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And as I mentioned, Tube, you'll see a ton of Tubes on TikTok. The reels are going viral. We're learning how to use the green screen. We got some good stuff going on there. I put up something there last week about trading in Brimson and Gashevsky, which didn't come to fruition, thankfully. Ended up keeping Metcalf, which worked out quite well. But yeah, there's tons and tons of good stuff going out there. So please give us a follow, like, and subscribe on all our channels. All right, boys, let's get into our new segment. That's our strategy segment called the Baller's Blueprint, where we're going to go for a bit of a dive into some strategic components that are relevant for the week. And where better start, boys, than Tom Trbojevic. He's named at fullback for Manly. He came off in the 66th minute against the Warriors last weekend in round two with hamstring tightness, they're calling it. Not awareness this time, but tightness up through his back. I've given the Magic Sponge podcast a bit of a listen with our mate, the NRL physio. He says that this is the most likely precursor and most likely thing that will then lead to an injury in a hamstring. Dan, can I get your expert opinion on Turbo's hamstring, please, to kick us off?
With the very limited information available, it's a very cliche saying in the physio world. The biggest risk for doing your hamstring is having a previous hamstring injury. Turbo's had 7 of them. I thought the Magic Sponge podcast was great, really summed it up quite well. So give it a listen if you can, because they go into very much detail about the injuries there. I'm a Turbo owner. I'm about 80% trading him out at the moment. Yep. I think you've got some good chat on that. For me, very, very scary in regards to the hamstring. It's just such a vital component of sprinting, any sort of, you know, field sports, all sports. So, very, very risky. And, you know, a bit hard at the moment because he's playing the last game of the round. So, Could be a late pullout. Could be, you know, you're just going to be stuck with trade options for that. So, yeah, it will be very interesting.
Tubes, before I go on a bit of a diatribe about my views on Turbo, how are you advising as an objective non-owner of Turbo that people approach this weekend with, as Dan said, Turbo playing the last game, he's named to play, but we might not know. It could be at any point where they'll declare him in or out right up until an hour before kickoff.
Look, I think it's an easy one to say, but I think I'd be holding Turbo if I owned him. I know that he's got officially some hamstring tightness, but it was buyer be warned at the start of the season, as Dan said, seven hamstring injuries the last few years. I think you knew this day was going to come. You probably hoped that it wouldn't come in round two, but I think if he's named to play, they're going to give him every opportunity. He plays Parramatta next week. If all the signs are there that if it's not this week, he's here next week, then I'd be trying to make sure that I've still got him in my side if I owned him for next week. And I think that'd be the play that I'd be taking on.
The Parramatta game certainly makes it trickier than it would otherwise be. I think if they had a hard game next week, it would be the most clear sell of all time. But I think it is a little bit team dependent, and how open to risk you are. For me, he's the only premium player that I have that I'm struggling, like that has a issue hanging over their head, and so that means he's my route to Payne Haas. So I can see the merit in holding him, but I think even if you are going to hold him, you need a trapdoor plan so that if an hour before the game he pulls out, you can flip in Tom Starling to flex or Tamale if you're planning on. I presume everyone's planning on getting Tamale now that he's been named in the team. He looks exceptional prospect, and he's held his spot. Or even if you're a Yongi owner as well and you want to hold Turbo, potentially looking to put Yongi out of your 17 and then be able to flip him into your 17 if we have that information by the time that the Parramatta game comes around at 4 o'clock. There's no doubt. My position is I think Turbo is a hard sell this week, and I am going to be selling him. I've already sold him. I run the risk of the AJ Brimson, Jack Kaczewski saga from last week, and Jesse Arthurs for that matter. I ended up making no trades. But I think that there's no doubt Tommy could hurt you by trading him, and I'm expecting that that's certainly within the range of outcomes. But it's not a zero-sum game when it comes to the trade. You are going to get a lot of positives on the other side of that trade. So for me, it lets me get Payne Haas and the two best cheapies of the week, in my opinion, which are Jesse Arthurs and Tom Starling. There's outcomes there where that works out even better than Tom playing this week and next week and holding him through. That I still might come out on top on that trade. The downside by not trading him is he pulls out at the last minute, or he plays and even worse gets injured during game and you end up with a flop. Now, no doubt that he could go 100-100. Fine. I think that's in well within the range of outcomes, but I'm banking on the probability that it's going to be a positive for my team in the potentially, probably in the short term, but definitely in the long term. So yeah, look, it's a bit of a punt. Worst case scenario, I think that you can always get him back next week. There's a buffet of fullbacks on option next week, and I'm planning to get one of them. We got Keeney, Gutho, and Paps all on the bubble next week. So I think round four is the week that you want to buy a fullback for Turbo. I don't really think there is anyone worth going after this week, so I think you want to be really utilizing the flex. But yeah, summary is, on balance, think that trading him out is a very, very good idea this week, and it's going to stand you in good stead for the long term. Dan, thoughts on that diatribe?
Certainly a long one. I agree with a lot of it.
Tubes is shaking his head. He's not happy at all.
Sorry, I just woke back up. It was good. I look forward to Sunday, Turbo getting 150. Am I going, I'm lucky, mad? And then you go, oh, no, actually, I kept him and I captained him. Don't worry, guys. So the trades aren't final till they play, I suppose. But there's a lot of points that I certainly agree with. there was just a lot of points in that.
There's a lot of points. As I said, I've written a novel.
That's all right. I think if he was maybe, you know, in the 700Ks, I think, you know, that would be less enticing, because it's just with 875K, there is so many swings that you can then do around your team. And shout out to the flex position this year. This is just absolutely incredible in terms of what you can do with your side now. And what you can also do in terms of planning trades for the week after. So, you know, it just opens up a whole nother realm. Like, you can have three people that you're looking to trade out for next week with cash. Like, it's just really good. So I think for that reason as well, Turbo's a sell. Really just solidifies my team. I think for people who have some big issues in their side, they can really clean up their side with that cash, get the cheapies, get some premiums that they may have missed out on. If you didn't listen to us first up, you might have some mid-rangers that are absolutely flopping. Get rid of them ASAP for either premiums or cheapies. So I just see it as a really good way. And look, I'm not against buying Turbo back the following week. I think that's worst case scenario. If he does really well this week, they're coming up against Para, he's absolutely flying. I'd love to hear more about how he's training through the week. If he's not training, if he's deloading, I'm 100% selling. If he's training, you know, moving around well, very difficult sometimes with those closed training sessions. But for me at the moment, he's a sell.
I just love
the conscious to not spend. Position. Yeah, shout out
to the flex position. It's like Chad goes deep on Instagram. Big appreciate.
with conscious to not spend another 5 minutes on Turbo. But if you did find out, Dan, that he, like, if we knew by Friday that he is actually back at training, he's definitely playing on Sunday. As much as you can know, does what you just said go out the window? Or you're trading him because you're worried about the injury that could happen, even though we now know he's playing by Sunday. I think,
as you said, the history is there that he could have it anyway. He could have done it anyway. So it's more the reason. There's a bit more context around that game on the weekend as well. I think it was kind of done and dusted by the time he went off anyway, maybe a little bit. Maybe there's a rule. They've got a rule if he feels a little bit uncomfortable, bring him off straight away. You just don't know the ins and outs around the whole thing. DCE going down with that back injury as well, very reminiscent of Jai Arrow, like just absolutely, you know, kicks in really quickly, can be really painful. It doesn't have to be a bad injury, but that's a little bit concerning as well if something like that happened to Cherry Evans again for the output on Turbo. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know he's an injury risk anyway, Turbo, so it's definitely not locked in. But I'm going to just muse on it for this week and see what happens with the training sessions.
Send him off! Send the dirty guys off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
Yeah, as Tube said, we could go on about this for hours. You could have a whole podcast dedicated. But we'd better move on to our next topic in the Baller Blueprint. And that is trade strategies. Now, this is the biggest trading week of the year. We know that cash is king. Plenty of money. There's so many negative break evens this week. A lot of good cheapy options, and there's also a lot of good mid range options as well as premium guys like Payne Haas, who looks like the number one buy of the week. You got Greg Marju, Marky Mark from the Roosters. I've been practicing his name all day, and then it's come to the crunch, and I've chickened out. I'll start with you, Dan. How are you approaching your round three trades?
I did say don't worry too much about your rank, but I'm very well ranked in the 600s, I think. So I am just trying to solidify as much cash as possible this week. I think that's the way to go. Team is good. I've avoided a lot of fires with injuries. You know, worst player is Krzyzewski, but he's on the chopping block next week for me if he makes a little bit of cash this week. Very well positioned. I think you've got to look at it from a team balance point of view as well. So for me at the moment, I'm a little bit heavy in the center wings. I've got too many kind of higher price guys there. I'm running a bare five in the second row, front row. But that bare five is very, very good. So very happy with that. I think you've just got to look at where you might be short, where you might be looking for backup players. But essentially, this week is just all about the quick cash generation. So quick cash, absolute king. Go for those guys as you can, but try to not diminish your side too much with too many cheapies. So still need a very good side, but try to get as much cash and quickly as possible.
Yep, I think that's the right approach, especially this year. It feels like there's more cash available. So burning up, trying to make as much of that cash as quickly as possible to then upgrade to the premiums that you want as quickly as possible. I think that's really the race now in Supercoach, to get to your best 17 as quickly as you can. So I'm going to play the same. I'm going to put the foot down hard on the, as I mentioned, on the two best cheapies at the moment is my plan, Starling and Arthurs. Mm-hmm. Obviously talked at length about Arthurs last week. Couldn't get him in because of some cash issues. But yeah, Tubes, what about you? What's your take on a trade strategy this week? Are you on the same boat? The cash is king?
Yeah, I think so. And I've got a couple, I've probably got a couple of problems in my center wing compared to you guys. So I didn't go Greg Marju to start the year. I went for the Campbell Graham play. And so I think anyone that's sort of in a similar situation, don't sit and wait to hold to hope these 500K players come good. Like, they will come good, I'm sure, at some point in the year. But you can potentially jump back on then. And I think the play for me is to get rid of get Campbell Graham out of the side for a cash generator. And so I'll be going down to Arthurs. And that gets me a bit of cash, but I'll be also then looking to bring in Payne Haas, who I think everyone will have in the next couple of weeks and probably likely this week. And it just makes my side a bit more. Outside of that, I went early on Shibasaki last week, and I've already got Tamale and Toya in my center wing. So I've already got a bit of cash sort of generating there. So I think it is a bit team dependent. My question more is how many Broncos is too many Broncos? Because at the moment in my side, I've got Cobbo, Arthurs, Shibasaki, Walsh, Payne Haas, Corey Pakes. So I like their run coming up.
I don't have to
get Cobbo, but I basically got their one to four.
Cobbo.
I'm bringing him in. He's currently in my team as a trade, as a boost option. But that's a for consideration.
Short answer, Tubes. That's too many. Too many. I know you're away last week, but we discussed it heavily on the pod just about like. The Broncos, all the backs can't score all the points. They're not going to have that many
bit.
Total.
I didn't discuss that.
Well, what do you think about it then?
I just think if you have them in aggregate, then it's like no. I don't think I'm not suggesting you get one to five, but but I think if you have three, then that's okay because like you get them in the aggregate. If one of them pops off, great. If the others don't, then I mean we saw it on the weekend. Like Walsh is nine, a complete outlier. He's never gone that low, in a long time. But probably his lowest Supercoach score ever. Their run still, they lost on the weekend. I'm really happy that no one's going to be able to buy Walsh, but I'd be happy to run out. I probably won't play Shibasaki this week just because my 17 is going to be so strong. But I'm worried he could hurt me.
Next four games at Suncorp, they're probably in for 30 to 35 6 points in the next four games.
I just think you're capped. I feel you have to pick the top one or two from each side and balance that out and just hope that they're the guys and you pick right. I just think you're a bit capped if you're picking too many center wings, fullbacks from the same side because they're not all going to score points every single game. So they might have a big game, one in every three, but then when you average that out, they're still not averaging that great. Whereas if you pick one or two and you get it right, and you do that from another team, you're then flying. So, Supercoach, you've got to get very lucky. You do, and you just got to pick the right player. And I just think you're capped a little bit if you're taking too many Broncos there.
Agree, but most of them are cheap, so that's more to the point. Like Arthurs is 340K and Shibasaki's 230K. So like it's not
That's two out of five. You're talking about.
Yeah. No. So I like. fine. I'm not fully disagreeing, but I'm also saying it's not the end of the world if you have to play all of them, and they're the highest scoring team of the next month. That can work out.
No, you can buy. Yeah, you just don't buy all of them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Enjoying you guys arguing about my team. It's nice to hear. Neither of you are thinking of doing this, but you're really invested in my Broncos strategy.
I'm on board.
I'll ponder it. The one that I could lay is Cobbo at 550k for sure. And I think I will, just because obviously with Walsh and you're already so heavily invested, you're getting the upside of that draw anyway.
Yep. The last thing I just want to talk about on trade strategies, Dan, is just there are some good mid-range options this week, like Nwanga Nitawase and, your Tupanuas, Jordan Rickeys, a few of these types. It just feels like it's just not quite the right week to be purchasing mid-rangers.
Yeah, it's tough. I think there's enough decent popular centre wings that are going well. And say for Nwanga Nitawase, it's tough to bring in because you're looking for the cash generation. He's obviously been heavily involved in their attack and looks very good. So I would say you could bring him in as a downgrade option if you were looking to flick a premium. Say you went for Zach Lomax, say you went for Val Holmes. You know, they're not looking like they're making cash early on, not in great teams. So something like that I could see to free up cash elsewhere, but I definitely wouldn't be trying to go up to him or a mid-range flip. I think that's the danger of starting with mid-rangers is the mid-ranger flip can work out horribly for you. So, yeah, I'd say either a downgrade for any of those mid-rangers. I wouldn't be trying to get up to a mid-ranger and hoping they continue that run after a small sample size of two games.
Yep. All right, let's move on to our positional analysis now, starting at hooker. And there are a plethora of cheapy hooker options on the menu this week. Tom Starling has gone back-to-back games with 68 minutes and 70 minutes. He's minus 53 or 54 break-even. He's the most purchased hooker this week. 5.1% of teams currently have brought him in. As mentioned, I think that role looks good for him now. Owen Paddy's the backup. He kind of comes on and plays a few minutes here or there. Ricky looks like he's got a bit of faith in Tom this season, and with the Raiders' hot start, I'm really keen on his role. I think he's best case he ends up as your hooker number two hold for the whole season, but he's going to make a ton of cash now. Tubes, is he on your radar?
He's not, but only because I've got Nico and Cleary, and I'm not using the flex like you, and then I've got Sandin and Pakes, so I just can't justify the trade. He'd be my number one bring in from a hooker perspective. Yep. If I was looking to trade any of those players for this week, the only thing I'd say is I agree with everything you said in terms of him locking down the spot and all of that, but like I still feel like you're going to get Ricky. like at some point they're going to get beat. They could get smashed by Manly this week, or they could be down 30 and Ricky just is like, oh, I'll chuck out Owen Paddy to see if he can turn things around for us or whatever it might be. But that Canberra pack with the horse, Papali'i not having to play huge minutes, Tarponeg coming back, and then those English boys, they just look really good this year. So they're going to continue. If they keep dominating teams, then Starling's going to look unbelievable behind it.
Dan, Sandon Smith's highly owned. He's minus 51 BE. Most people have him. I actually think if you don't own him, he is just as big a priority as Starling, given the duel and the way he looked. Like, I think he's a really, really good Supercoach prospect for the rest of the year. I think he could really get up to the sort of 500 or 600K mark. Peter Mamazelis, or Peter Mamabias, as the baller baritone Jono called him on the Sunday snap, he's negative 35 BE currently in 26% of teams. Have you got him in the same ballpark, Dan, as Tommy Starling?
Not quite, is it, in that I'm much more confident of playing Tom Starling as my first hooker. I feel Mamazelis would have those 30s in him a little bit more in the next few weeks. He will be a cash grab though, so I don't mind him as the cash grab play if that suits your team. And particularly now that Tom Duffy is off the menu, you've got to probably, if you're a Duffy owner, flip those cheapies around. So it's definitely a plethora of ways that you could go with it. I would have Tom Starling as number one over Mamazelis, even though it is 40K extra. If for reasons with those other two trades that you don't have that extra 40K, I don't see that as a bad buy by Mamazelis this week either. He looked a lot better, got over for some attacking stats. Yeah, definitely an option if you don't have the cash to go up to Tom Starling.
Yeah, he's timed that attack really well. He had a try and a try assist on the weekend, with line breaks. It's obviously huge for his cash generation now, so he's off to the races. Tubes, Harry Grant, he obviously had the buy on the weekend. He's 21% owned. Is he someone, like, would you consider trading out Harry for one of these cheapy guys, or would you be sticking with him and looking for a bit of a switcheroo around with Sandon and halfback in the flex if that was your route?
Yeah, I don't think I would be. I'd be holding Harry. You brought him in at the start of the year knowing he had a round two buy. I think he's just the hold at hooker for the season. I think just look for your other cash generators elsewhere. I think basically we've summed it up. There's plenty of different options. I'd say Sandon 1, Tom 2, Mamazelis 3, and you could bring in any of them, but I wouldn't be breaking my side apart to bring in any of them either.
I just want to mention Connor Watson while we're talking about hookers. He's obviously dual 2RF, 583K. He's got a break even of only 26 this week. He's coming off a ton against the Panthers on the weekend with a couple of meaties. I'm obsessed with that role, Dan. 80 minutes, hooker for about 50, 55 to 60, and then 20 through the middle. He looks very damaging.
Yeah, it's nearly as good as you can get. I think that's nearly as good as that 65-minute at lock role where he has that breather. I think, you know, he looks great. He's part of their attack. You can see him looking for those options near the line as well. I think he's definitely an option. I don't think he's probably as vital as a cash generator cheapie at the moment for this week.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very much an option to have either Max Plath or Connor Watson in your second row. So if you
surely
don't have
Connor's
one of
gone
them,
straight past Maxi.
He is, but it's more for the dual the dual position hookers. So yeah. I would have basically still very cheap options, both of those hooker spots. And if you don't have one of those guys in your second row, I think that could be an option bringing those guys in this week.
Connor's past Maxi, but you wouldn't be trading Maxi Connor.
No,
like
way.
You're choosing between the two.
I wouldn't be trading Connor Watson in if I had Max Plath in my side and the other cheap hookers. So you just like this, you don't need that much flex at hooker with two guys in second row. I'd rather go for an attacking second rower rather than get Max Plath and Watson there.
And maybe I think he looks great, but Lenu and Collins back this week with Nafua White getting minutes. And Victor. So you just want to see that role continue, basically, and then he'll probably be hooker too.
Good shout, Tubes. I reckon that's the right play. Like, you give Watson one more week. He's 26 BE, which is manageable. You know, he might go up 30K or something, but if you see him get 80 in this team now, like, that's when you want to be jumping on board next week, potentially. Let's jump down to front row forward now, and it truly is big boy season. There has never been a front row class like the front row class of 2025. We've got Payne Haas, Terrell May, Corey Horsburgh, Tino Fasua, Mal Aoi, and to a lesser extent, James Fisher-Harris and Toby Couchman all pumping out massive scores with massive base plus power. Tubes, you messaged during the game on Sunday and said, Tino looks a bit off the pace, to which I answered, he's made 17 tackles in 15 minutes. He went on to bust out 82 in base plus power. And for those who are new to the show, base plus power is the base stats, which are your, you know, hit-ups and tackles, plus your power statistics, so things like offloads and tackle breaks and things of that nature. So that is a machine-like score. Those are Payne Haas numbers. Let's start with Tino, Tubes. Are you an owner? I presume you're not. Maybe, although you do love the Titans. So are you an owner?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
And I've got him in draft. I'm very happy with Tino. I was a little bit annoyed just at them getting belted and he missed a couple of tackles for tries. Okay. But I said this on the snap, like I didn't factor in that it was 35 degrees or whatever at Belmore and he just made a million tackles to start the game. So he wasn't off the pace. He was just a little bit tired from the amount of work that he'd actually done. It was a weird game attacking wise for the Titans. It felt like they had a lot of one off, but you saw his try, and that's literally what you know he has in his kit bag to do when he's close to the line. Like they're gonna hit him, and he's just gonna get through a mountain of work. For me, it like him, Horse, Haas, and May. Like you just need all four of them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. In terms of priorities this week, though, Dan, is it if you're not a Tino and Haas owner, how are you prioritising that?
Oh, I don't know what you do if you don't have Tino. Like, he's not on the bubble this week. He's probably not the priority for this week, but definitely Payne Haas is number one. Like, it looks sensational. 7 offloads in that game on the weekend. Him with a license to offload is just an auto pick. So I'm definitely getting him. I don't think my side actually has an actual second row forward in there. So there's no back row. I've got those four guys now after this week, plus Connor Watson as my rotating five. So Gajewski's the only one there that is. So I think I still think you should have 1 to 2 nuffs at front row forward. And those four front row forwards should be floating between front row and second row. So yeah,
and that effectively does you for the season. Then, like, you really don't need to make too many more trades. You just got to get those premium 2 RFs, and then you can obviously move some things around for pods and stuff. But you can really set your front row and second row in stone after about 6 weeks.
Yeah, so it just caps your cash generation a little bit. But as long as you're flipping for the fast cash early on, then you don't really need to be making that slow burning cash at front row forward. I know next week the likes of Hamish Stewart will come on the menu. People will be inclined to get rid of one of their cheapies for him. Again, a little bit of risk, but it's also going to be just that slow burning cash. So it then holds up a spot. It might hold up. It makes two trades because you've got to get someone like Hamish Stewart in and then back out again. Whereas I much prefer fast cash, use those two trades on something where you can flip actually playable premium guys. So they're the options you're looking at for next week. But yeah, certainly not bad keeping those nuffs at the moment.
Yeah, speaking of nuffs or anti-nuffs, Tubes, we've got to do a bit of a gloat session on the "we told you so, don't buy Royce Hunt" front.
What a fun trade that's going to be next week. Royce Hunt to Hamish Stewart, just like one to write home about.
But it's played out basically exactly as we thought with Hunt.
Yeah.
He's just not a Supercoach relevant player, even at 240K.
And you just want enough. You want enough there over him. But obviously, there'll be people that be able to downgrade to Stewart or similar. But yeah, I think you're not urgently getting him out of your side if there's other problems, but at some point you're going to have to either nuff him out or trade him down.
Langmiller, veers to the right, inside.
Oh!
Bateman! Yes!
Let's jump down to the 2RF now. And there are a couple of... It's a tricky week at 2RF because there's... you got your guns who are doing really well, like Dylan Lucas's... Eli Katoa's there this week, but it's mainly about the guys that you want to shift out this week. So Jermaine Hopgood, Tubes, I know you're an owner. He's obviously with the Jewels, we got a bit of flexibility. Some people can go straight to Payne Haas, but is he a hard sell for you this week?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. But like perfect price to just go Hopgood straight to Payne Haas. I think Hopgood... the bit more minutes risk with Jack Williams playing big minutes there than I would have foretold at the start of the season. And also Parramatta just looks so bad that I'm not sure how that he's priced in for as much percentage attacking output as he's had it the last couple of years. So, like, similar to what I said before, I'm sure at some stage this year he'll come good and he'll start averaging bigger numbers, but I'm not willing to wait that out when it's an easy trade to Payne and admit my mistake to start the year.
Dan, a couple of cheapy mid-rangers who are on the horizon at 2RF. You've got Satili Tupanua, who's 425k. He's got an extended run in on that edge now, you would think, with Viliami Kikau out with an MCL for at least a month. He's got a break even of one. He had a ton in round one, but only managed 31 in limited minutes on the weekend. He falls very much into that category of probably want one more week to have a look at him from a trade priority perspective.
Yeah, I am very cold on Tupanua. I think historically he's been an okay Supercoach player. Like he had that 80-minute role at the Roosters there for quite a while and did well. Definitely very much attacking upside, but never been the guy to churn out a lot of base. So I think with Matty Burton, Kikau losing a bit of strength at that Canterbury side, I think he's one to definitely avoid. And, you know, in a full-strength side, he comes off the bench. Kikau, I know, is going to be out for a little while, but, yeah, it just doesn't interest me as a really good prospect going forward.
In a similar mould, Siwa Wong, he's got a negative break-even of minus one. He's 317K. He had 56 in base in 80 minutes last week, which is red hot. But you got a few worries about him in terms of the Robbo rotation.
Definitely. I think I got burned a bit last year with the Robbo rotations. I started with Wong last year as well. Defensively, he has some issues. Like, it wasn't even fatigue. He let that Alamotti try first up on the weekend, made it look too easy. I think he missed another one for a try as well. So I don't think Robbo is 100% sure that he's going to be a big minutes back row. So very good stats on the weekend. He does look a good player, good size, great frame, great build, but just too much risk in that Roosters team.
Yeah, won't a little start bit on the weekend, a little bit. I don't think.
Won't start.
No. Lindsay, White back to lock. What are they doing? That Radley was going to play an edge, and now he's, after being HIA, he's back at lock. Like, I just don't – Robbo loves doing these, just picking a fake team and then switching it up just before kickoff. Like, I reckon Wong doesn't start. But even if he does, like, as Dan said, too big of a risk there for me.
Well, he killed little baby Fichetti on the weekend, didn't he? He only gave him about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jono for that wonderful pun. If you want to hear it, check out the Sunday Snap. Tubes, Matty Nicholson burst onto the scene with a big 98, I think, on the weekend for the Raiders with a couple of meaties. Meaties getting a good run today, a couple of meat pies. 2.7% owned, and that's because 2.1% of teams have already bought him in this week. He's got Zach Hosking out for over a month now as well with a broken hand. He looks to have that edge roll sewn up. He's obviously on the bubble next week, so probably no reason to go early on him. Tough matchup against Manly.
Yeah, I think so. But Hosking didn't start on the edge, did he?
No, Nicholson
did. So Tarpany comes back and probably pushes horse to lock, Smithy's still on the bench. Yep. So I think, again, you just get this week to see what that rotation's going to look like.
Tarpany's based on.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. Well, based on everything you saw last week at the price, I think he's going to be a pretty good option. It's a pretty bare second row forward, as Dan said. Like, there's just not a huge amount of options outside of or sort of what we've got already in from front row forward. Currently got Dylan Lucas in the centres. And I'm thinking, do you bring him back up? So you're sort of looking for someone, and Nicholson could be the man. He certainly looked big and strong. I think you're not buying
tries
this week.
Two tries, buying, like it's it's not over the line yet. I'm not sure he's a keeper, but it does look like he's going to make some decent money. And the Hosking out just really solidifies his place in the team. And he may be first choice still when Hosking comes back. We don't know. Hosking looked good again on the weekend. He's a good player. Dan, anyone else you want to talk about at 2RF?
No, I think probably just a. Obviously, and I'm looking to bring him in round five. Dylan Lucas looks absolutely exceptional. Very high base rate. getting over for some attack. The issue is if you've got some Newcastle Knights in your team already, picking another one up, they've got the bye in round four, so you're going to be very light for round four. So just make sure your team balance is there. I think if you've only got one Knights, I think he still could be an option for you. Looks like a lock and hold for the year whenever you can get him. I'm going to wait even if he makes 50, 60 grand this week and definitely prioritising him as a round five purchase.
Yeah, I'm pretty strong about not buying any Knights that you don't already own this week. Like, they don't play round four. I just don't. I'd rather pay the tax on them in round five. Greg Marju looks like a must-have at centre wing, and I cannot wait. He's got a negative five break even. We'll chat about him in the centre wing. But, yeah, I'm pretty strong. Just don't buy any Knights this week. Like, there's too much risk to carry into round four not having them, and there's too much cash to be made, so I'd be very wary there. Shout out to Tommy Gilbert as well here, and Seyfarth. Seyfarth got 80 minutes on the weekend and looked better. I just would be holding those guys probably unless they're your ticket to a Payne Haas. You can sell, but they're not an urgent issue.
I wouldn't sell Gilbert. Gilbert.
No, but there's just not that many routes to Haas. Like, I don't think it's the end of the world if you have to sell him. He got 50 minutes on the weekend. It's going to be, as you said on the Snap Tubes, it's kind of just going to be what you're going to get. You're going to get a 50 to 55 average plugging away, which isn't the worst, but it's not the best. So if you have to sell him, then I'm not against it. But certainly on the siding, on the caution of holding, I would say at this stage. Down to halfback. And the real surprise packet of the season, Tubes, has been Jamie Humphries at the Bunnies. Kicked a game-winning field goal on the weekend for 72 points. He's currently in 15.8% of teams, 6.1% purchase, making him one of the highest purchased players of the week. The second highest purchased, in fact. Minus 25 BE, he looks the goods. I'd love to have him in my team, and I'd love to, like, geez, that body. Oh, my God.
I'm surprised.
Sorry, I went a bit over the top there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing a bit of the rounds on mainstream media. I think for the true believers, we were sending each other WhatsApp pictures of that body preseason. Yeah. But after a couple of games, he's made it onto Channel 9 and some other.
Rightly so. I've never seen a rig that good in the NRL. It's a tough school.
Yeah. I could probably if we want to go down this route, like we could go Cam Murray's probably has been no rig way. One for yeah. a number of seasons and yeah Humphries so has
look
sort of
all
taken
I'm saying
over.
Is if we're setting the market for the NRL for Roasties top 100 hottest 100 this season, I honestly think Humphries is unbackable.
Nah.
Don't,
no one can beat Dreamboat.
Oh, you reckon Herbie's still got it?
Yeah, Dreamboat.
All right, I'll bet you steak dinner.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. All right, first steak bet of the year. Humphries, we've got to give a shout out to Roasty there. We might have to hit him up on socials. Herbie versus Humphries for the NRL hottest 100 of the year in Roasty's competition. Anyway, digressing, he's a good option, isn't he?
He is. I'm surprised he was nearly 10% owned before this week. Perfect option for those that went the Duffy route. I know you got to find 100K, but it's a bit of a get out of jail free card. I mean, you can bring down Sandon, but I really like the play. I like the look of Humphries. He's the goal kicking Souths. They're not a great team. Latrell's going to come back at some point, and he probably won't kick goals then, but he'll probably make a couple of 100K before then. And he's just one of those hard working halves as well, so he's got sort of that good base about him as well. Doesn't need the attacking upside.
Strong. Dan, how would you rate that? Because that's a very good point Tubes makes, is that you've got a bit of optionality there at hooker and halfback with Smith and flipping him up and down. How would you rate Humphries as a buy against someone like Tom Starling?
It's a really tough one. I really like him as a football player. I would like him in my side. He's just taking up that premium position as a halfback only. I'm very keen. I've got Nico and Cleary already, but I'm very keen at having the ultra premiums as your two halfbacks as quick as possible. So I'd love him as a cash grab if he didn't have Sharks into Panthers, the next two. Yep. I think that caps it a little bit as well. I'm not that high on the Bunnies in general as a good team. So for that reason, I don't see him as a good a cash grab as someone like Tom Starling.
Tom Duffy, we've mentioned he's an obviously clear trade out now for owners. That just hasn't worked out the best for owners, so you can move him on pretty comfortably with the range of options that we've already discussed. Nico Hines, Tubes, we've obviously watched him fairly closely. It was good to see him get the tee back on the weekend. And he's now 16% owned, which is, you know, pretty low for Nico traditionally. He's got a break even at 96. There was chat after the game that his role isn't looking quite as good within the Sharks side. Tricky Trindle's obviously playing both sides of the ruck. How are you taking that on from a Supercoach perspective?
I think the main thing seen was kicking on the weekend, and I think that it may mean that Nico doesn't have as big an upside as he potentially had two seasons ago with this, but I think a fully fit Nico kicking goals in that Sharks team is still going to be vying for that number one halfback points strategy. I think, interestingly, I was talking to, is he still known as the Podfather on here?
Yeah, Podfather.
Dad? So yep. Podfather, who, what did he rank? He was top 100 a couple of seasons back, and he's looking at doing turbo down to Nico this week. Mm. So he doesn't own Nico, and is looking at using the turbo money to bring in Nico. So I think for owners, he's a hold, and that is a juicy game on the weekend against the Bunnies at Shark Park at 3 p.m. So I think if you are going to look at bringing in Nico over the next couple of weeks, then this is the week to bring him in.
I'm sure that'll come up in our captaincy chat as well. He's got, as you mentioned, very good fixture there. Last one at halfback, Dan, I just want to give a quick shout out to Adam Reynolds in that Broncos team. We spoke about having too many Broncs. He's got a negative 16 BE. He's only 500K. Look, I've heard of worse ideas.
Jeez, I don't know. I bring him up in our WhatsApp group chat all the time, and I get rubbish from every single one of you.
Mainly by
Adam
me.
Reynolds. Yeah. I mean, you talk about getting Broncos because they're going to score a lot of points. He's goal-kicking. He's going to get a massive amount of points. He's done well the first 2 weeks. He's got a low break-even. You could absolutely do worse. In terms of his competition, going someone like a Nico Hines, I think I'd prefer a Hines for sure. There's 200K swing there, so it's team dependent. That 200K might get you someone like Payne Haas. I don't mind the play in that regards. I probably just don't see him as a long-term play. And big injury risk. I mean, when was the last time he played five games straight? I can't remember. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's more, you know, a bit of a risk there for picking him up. But certainly could see him go well the next three, take a flyer, should be pod.
Yep. You say you want to keep the pod under an hour and 20, and then you start talking about Adam Reynolds. Like, it's – I think he's
– That's internal chat. That's internal chat, Tubes.
No, that was pre-pod. You said you wanted to keep it low, and then we're bringing up Adam Reynolds.
That's always been our stick, hasn't it? Keep it short and sharp. Okay. Look, I'm just giving him an appreciate, all right? Anyway, let's move on to 5'8 now. And Lukey Metcalf, there's only one place to start. He's obviously dual halfback as well. Tubes, you sold him. I cannot stress enough to anyone who sold him, you did not make a bad decision there. You got a bad outcome on the 117. He could have just as easily hit another 17, and you're ditching him this week. My question this week, though, is his break-even is 11. I don't think you can do it, but is he a purchase option, Dan?
No.
Simple as?
I think so. Like, he got a great score on the weekend. Warriors have a bye round five. I think he's a perfect trade out for that round five. Just make a couple of rounds of good cash. The difficult thing is people will be stuck because they have Matty Burton, who's gone now. Dylan Brown not showing great potential, going to lose cash early on as well. So I think I think there's too many fives elsewhere that you don't have to worry too much about that 5'8 switch. But I'd probably prefer at the moment, just without too many options at 5'8, have one premium, even go down to enough maybe or do some flips around with the jewels. But yeah, he's not a purchase for me.
What about Chanel Harris-Tavita, minus 21 BE? He scored 74 on the weekend. He's looking decent enough. He scored a try off Metcalf. He's 10% owned, interestingly. I was surprised when I saw that ownership. His place in the side, though, Tubes, like, it has to come into question a little bit if the Warriors are to lose any of the games. And with the aforementioned bye in round five, I couldn't be going anywhere near Chanel Harris-Tavita.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you said at the start, like, it's a bit of a race to get to your best 17. And I think with the 5-8, like, again, for those that have and held Metcalf, you're holding him now to at least round five when they're by, and you might make you will get some good price rises, score pending this weekend. I think it's a race to just try and get to Cam Munster as sort of your number one 5-8 for me now that they've had the bye. And so if you need to have Nuffs or if you have jewels like an Adam Dewey, I think that works well. But I certainly wouldn't be trying to bring in a Metcalf or looking for cash generation in that 5-8 spot right now.
I agree. I think you want Munster as soon as possible. I'm not adverse to bringing him in this week. I'm already an owner, so I'm glad I don't have to worry. But, yeah, certainly beyond this one. They've got the Panthers this week, which is obviously a tougher matchup, even though no Dylan Edwards for Panthers. So it's not, and they're at home, so not as tough as it will be. I'm actually heading to that game. Should be great fun, me and Tubes, Thursday night. A couple of guys, Dan, who are on the chopping block big time at 5'8", are Jerome Luai and Dylan Brown, both dual. Brown is just going down with the ship at Parramatta, but he also looks horribly out of form on the back of his $13 million deal at the Knights. Are they both no-brainer sells in your mind to Munster this week?
I wouldn't say so. Munster's not on the bubble. I think he could give him one more round. Yeah, Dylan Brown, I think, can probably take a hit. And that's a really tricky position. I'm glad I'm not in that space. Mm. You know, you could still argue that Brown is top two for the year in terms of averaging for 5'8 there. You're not going to switch him over to another premium in the likes of Jaden Campbell, I think, who also isn't on the bubble this week. Who was the other one you mentioned
there? Jerome Luai. Jerome Luai's got 111 break even or something like that.
He's rocks and diamonds, but you know what you're going to see is probably a 57, 58, 59 average this year for Jerome Luai. You'll just get those games where he scores nothing and then big price. So I think if you started with him, maybe stick with it. I don't know if I jumped straight off. I think he's still got some big scores in him, but I've never really liked him myself as a super coach player.
You mentioned Jaden Campbell. Him and Brimson are watchers again this week. Bit of an easier fixture with the Knights at home, even though the Knights have been on fire to start the year. Tubes, KO Weeks is the other one there. He's relatively well-owned, 7.7%, 114 break-even. He hasn't really looked like he's been a factor for the Raiders' attacking structure.
Nah, unfortunately, he hasn't worked out, and you got to be getting him out of your side as quickly as possible. Just on Luai, I think he is a sell, Dan. I know he's been rocks or diamonds at the Panthers. I don't own him either, but if I did, watching the role he's played in that Tigers structure, I'd be looking at selling him. Sure. Just how much ball Galvin gets, Appy, obviously running things from hooker. And I'd like the role potentially for Luai from an NRL Tigers perspective, but not from a super coach perspective. I think K as a sell. I'd love to be talking up Jaden Campbell as a buy. I own him. I still think the Titans have such a nice run coming up. But the Knights, I think they've only let in 3 tries so far this year, so you definitely have to wait and watch another week. So I really only see Munster as the big option at 5'8 for this week, if you're being forced to sell.
I think Galvin's a bit of a pod move. He looks to have gone to another level, and his super coach game is so friendly.
Many touches.
I'm big on him long term this year. He's a little bit expensive. Like, you couldn't go him over Munster, I don't think, but I think as a pod option, I'm not the worst. Just a touch expensive.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Down to centre wing now, and there are a plethora of cheapies, as mentioned. Well, actually, yeah, Shibasaki, Arthurs, Tamale are the big three, all got big, big break evens. Shibasaki, interestingly, Tubes. We got Stags named in the extended there for the Bronx. Obviously, it's been touted that he's going to come in for Mariner, but Mariner looked like a jet on the weekend.
Yeah, I read today Mariner was in the red shirt as well, so potentially a little bit injured. Shibasaki's on the left. Stags will come back to the right. So just based on that, you're probably still leaning that it'll be Shibasaki, but it'll be a hard-fought thing. Like, certainly one bad game and he could be out, but how many price rises does that get you is probably the question. I'm happy to have him and own him and see how it goes, but, yeah, it does give a bit of pause for bringing in, that's for sure.
Yeah, Robert Toy is the other one there with a massive break even. He looks sensational. They're just those guys, Tamale, Toya, Shibasaki and Arthurs, it's more of a question of who do you play or who do you sit out of those guys. Dan, have you got a strong view on the order there?
Yeah, definitely Toya, number one, I think. Always been a...
Really? Head of Arthurs.
Well, in terms of long term, yes. In terms of the next few weeks, I'll definitely be playing Arthurs, but I'll be playing Toya as well. So then I've probably got Tamale, and then Shibasaki is the fourth there. I actually don't own Shibasaki. Right. I'm not bringing him in. I'm happy that Stags is there lurking. I'm a big fan of Dean Mariner as a footy player. I think he's an absolute jet. So big chance that he doesn't retain his spot longer term, Shibasaki, although I think he will get it initially, possibly not over Mariner there. So the other one, I'm actually dropping Zach Purdue. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts on
Jackson,
that.
Jackson Purdue, sorry.
Because I just, his cash is going to be capped, I think, at the moment. And the likes of someone like Jesse Arthurs is just going to the moon in the next two. So that's my trade this week.
Yeah. I think Purdue is a fine sell if he's your route to one of those gun cheapies. I'm going to hold and just sort of hope for the best. I don't really need to move him on, so I'm not too worried there. I've got all the good cheapy center wings. I'm punting Isaiah Tass, who also is not the worst hold. He's back on the wing this week, but he's my route to Jesse Arthurs. So I agree, Dan. Like, if you have to sell Purdue to get one of those good money-making cheapies in, there's no guarantee Purdue's going to make that money. He got so unlucky with that bloody sin bin on the weekend. It was such a good chase to get Stone Street, and then he just laid on him a bit long, which was a killer because it would have got the Hines try assist as well.
Would you switch Purdue for Shibasaki?
No. I wouldn't sell Purdue. Wouldn't sell him.
Even to get up to Jesse Arthurs?
Maybe if that's your own, your only option to do it, then I would potentially think about it. I think Purdue's a good player. He's only 19.
They've lost both games.
They've lost both games. And I think I spoke about Drinkwater on Sunday and the run that they have after their round 6 or 7 bye over that Origin period. So, it just feels like Purdue at his price as a cheapie, he can just sit there as your sixth centre wing and you know he's going to pop at some point, or I think he is anyway. That's because I do think he's a good player and he just hasn't shown it in the first couple of weeks. If Arthurs,
for sure. I just want to say on Arthurs quickly, I think that it's, whilst I don't think that he's necessarily the best NRL player, or we know a bit what he is in terms of his base is low and he needs tries, outside Ben Hunt is a great place to be in the NRL. We've known that now for the past 17 years. But I do want to say that if you don't buy Arthurs and he if he turns up again this week or goes close to a ton, you are you've lost that. There's so much downside in not owning Arthurs. Yes, he could go 23 without a try this week. There's no doubt about that. But he's still going to make tons of cash. And the Broncos got a great run. If he goes ton next two weeks, it's game over for you. So I cannot stress enough how important it is to buy Jesse Arthurs this week. And I wish that I had done it, followed my own advice and bought him last week. But that's another story for another time. Some of the more expensive options this week, we've spoken about Nwonga Nitawase, minus 4 BE, 430-something K. Good purchase, but probably better options. Greg Marju looks must-have center wing, but round 5 for me there, just pay the tax. He's probably going to go up 50, 60, 70K this week. Hopefully we don't get him too high, but well done to those who started the season with him. He looks in career best form. He hasn't had a try yet and still punching out huge, huge base plus power numbers. Jason Saab, Tubes, he's got a negative 54 BEs. He's averaged 110.5 to start the year. If Turbo's out, that probably stunts him a little bit, but he's still got Cherry there and he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think he looks very good. And outside of Garrick isn't a bad place to be in terms and Ola Kawatu in terms of that right edge for Manly. It's just a bit expensive, I think. But, yeah, he's a nice draft player, but he's hard to bring in, I think, for Classic versus some of the other options in that sort of price range that he's at.
Dan, Ruben Garrick has had I won't say sluggish. He's had an 86 and a 54, probably his floor, that 54 mark. He had a try assist on the weekend. He's 680K, it's obviously a premium center wing option. If he's your route to some of these cheaper guys, could you consider selling Ruben this week?
Yeah, I think you could. I've got Garrick. I'm not gonna sell him for now. I think he could be just keep him in there for the rest of the season. He is definitely down on his base from previous years. So base plus power 36, 37. For the first two rounds, he's not looking as involved in their attack for sure. He may now step up if the likes of Cherry and Turbo are hampered, injured, not playing. So I don't see that as a really bad thing for him. But yeah, certainly if it's good for your team structure, I'd give him one more week and see regardless. But yeah, I'd say he's a hold if I'm going to be on one side of the fence.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd be very, very reluctant to sell Garrick, especially with two good fixtures against Raiders and Eels coming up in the next couple of weeks. A couple of guys, Tubes, who are pretty relevant at the moment. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 23% owned. He scored well again out of jail. He was on 11 points after 60 minutes. He probably doesn't need to go anywhere for now, but would you be looking to punt him? And I'll ask you the same question, Dan, because I know you're an owner for that round 5 buy.
Yeah, I also own him and he'll be gone for round 5, I think, unless he tons up in the next couple of weeks. It's a very nervous watching him. Two tries and he's averaging, 60-odd? I think for that 500K player, for two tries, you're looking for them to be averaging 85, similar to Greg Marju. So for me, it's likely that it'll be Roger to Greg after that night's round 4 bye. Feels like a perfect trade.
You agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, I agree that I feel that Supercoach this year, it's gone back to the old school of you need a lot of spaces for the cheapy centre wings. at the moment, I've got Marju, Garrick, Skelton, and Roger. So pretty heavy in that 4 center. So, and I know there's going to be some cheapy center wings on the horizon. So definitely not against those sort of guys if they're not performing to where you think they would. So as Tube said, two tries, averaging 60. You would have hoped for maybe going 80 plus on one of those occasions. But yeah, it's certainly a wait for the next two and then move on at the bye round.
Every year, Dan, there's a prevailing centre wing option who kind of takes us a little bit by surprise but ends up being a top 3 centre wing. And this year, could that be Cale Iro from the Sharks? He's had a red hot start to the year, started getting tons of attack. He's still that big base plus power monster that we know from last year as the most relevant cheapie. He's got a break even of 27 this week, 650K or something, but Jesus, he looks great.
Unbelievable. Yeah, really good player. Massive up and comer still, huge base output for his first year last year. And Sharkies look like they're the real deal. So, yeah, you could do much worse. I will be definitely looking to get him in as early as possible once a couple of cheapies have fattened. Mm. So it's just really hard to get in at this stage of the year. But he'll be great. He won't play Origin. Great through the bye rounds. Definitely one to keep watching over the next few weeks.
Arthur's to KO. Kale.
Not KO.
Arthur's to Eero feels pretty nice in round six or seven or something like that.
KO Weeks is KO Mini and KO Eero is Foxtel in that analogy. And then the last one at center wing. DAZN. Yeah, the last one I want to talk about is Fletcher Sharp. He's in that Knights category of probably don't buy before round five, but he looks electric. I'm sure we'll talk about him more on future pods. Down to fullback now, the blue riband position of Supercoach. We spoke ad nauseum about Tommy Turbo at the start of the pod, so we won't revisit him there. Kalen Ponga did the business, 129 points. The big talking point there is, do you sell him for his round four buy or not next week? I'm going to start with the affirmative with YouTubes. You're the negative at that. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're still starting with me, or do we need?
I'm still starting with you. Why do you not want to sell Ponga next week?
Obviously, you'll get more information from this weekend, but for right now, I think we said after round one, he had 83 basically pure base on the weekend. He pure base and goal kicking and power, like in the first round. And last week, obviously, a few attacking stats. He goes 129, was it? Or 129 yep, finished up yep. on. But I think it's more, it's similar to that Cleary, Nico mold of the last few years where they're just involved, their touches on the ball. Like it feels like he's involved in 70% of sort of their plays that they're doing. And I haven't done a deep dive on the data, so I'm sure Dan will do that on my behalf. But I think with that, I just can't see that Kalen Ponga, I'll be holding him until he's ruled out through injury basically for the season. I think if this keeps up, he'll average and be the number one fullback for the season. I don't think you trade out someone like that just because they have one bye round.
Yep, that's a very strong argument, Tubes. Dan, the Knights fixture is very strong even beyond that bye. So what would be the thinking behind selling him for round four with a view to bringing him back later?
It's hard now. I think if the other guys were absolutely flying, you could see that as an option. But he's just looked rock solid over the last two. The role looks amazing at that halfback sort of role that he's doing. He looks hungry. I'm going to do every single thing I can to keep him next week. And I'm actually doing something that I very historically have never really done in Supercoach, is bank cash through the year, specifically for next round. So I'm currently with my trades, I've got 500 grand on the bench anticipating, Yongi up to one of Kinney, Gutho, or
Paps.
Yeah, so I'm going to bank. If fullback was much more assured, I would never just leave 500 grand on my bench. But because I don't have any Dragons on the buy, I'm not missing any value there. I'm going to hold that cash to get one of those ultra premium fullbacks, whoever looks the best. So big audition week for me this week.
That's a big hot topic of next week, so I'm sure we'll chat a lot about that then. The man, though, for this week that needs the most discussion is definitely Reece Walsh, coming off a career low 9 points on the weekend. I was very worried as an owner. It actually didn't affect me too badly with the new rule. His score dropped out for me, so it's obviously he's got a huge break-even of 129 this week now. What it effectively means, though, Tubes, for owners like us, is that people can't really afford to bring him in, I wouldn't say.
I think you can. I would be bringing him in.
Really?
Still.
Wow.
Yeah. Their run coming up is unbelievable. They're playing the Cowboys this weekend. He'll probably get, like, I feel like he'll go 90 plus this weekend, and that break even's going to roll out of it in the next 2 to 3 weeks anyway. Maybe you could look at getting him 30, 40K cheaper next week. But if I was selling Turbo and own Turbo, Reece Walsh would be my number one bring in with their run coming up and the fact that they're back at Suncorp.
Yeah, I presume then that you can't get on board with that 1.6% of super coaches who are selling him.
The only pause for thought I have with Reece Walsh is I hope he stays at that 16% pod range, because I might not captain him or vice captain him just because he does have that low score in him without the goal kicking. But he certainly still has that upside, and so I definitely want him in my 17. Just not sure he's a captaincy option at the moment.
Early in the round, we'll chat about that in a minute though. Dan, did Tubes mention as he still thinks that he's an option to bring in for Turbo? In terms of other options, if you know, we've spoken about the fact that maybe next week is the week to bring in that premium fullback for Turbo. Who, if you were wanting to bring in a fullback this week, would it be Ryan Pappenhausen, James Tedesco? Who would you be looking at?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think, like, because there's so many fullbacks on the bubble next week, I think it's just a wait and see. If you have, so for me, I've got, say, Nico Hines, who I'm putting down to flex. And I see that as an ultra premium in that position. That's going to be good enough for 1 week. And then, as I said, really like the flex this year, because you've now got options like you can go Corey Pakes to a fullback next week. You can go Giszewski to a fullback. Like, it just allows so many swings in that sense. So I think the flex option for a short-term play of not having a premium there is absolutely fine for 1 week if you have really good options for the following.
Yep, so, I agree with
yeah,
that.
I mean, it's hard. Tedesco's a hard one. Such high value at 900 plus. I mean, ultra pod. Good on you. But I just think the likes of Kimi, Pappenhausen, these guys can maybe match him. Even Gutho to an extent in his new role with the Dragons.
Yeah, looking forward to the big Gutho pod next week. All right, let's get into our captaincy chat for the week. Now, I just want to start this by saying, if you are going to hold Tom Trbojevic, certainly do not captain him. Can I get some agreeance there, Dan?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not? Just because of injury risk.
So yeah. if you've gone VC someone and that hasn't worked out, you'd be happy to captain Tom Trbojevic on
Sunday? Yeah, I mean, if the VC hadn't worked out, but if my VC got 90 or 80, it's not the worst, like, to potentially have to loop and get the lowest AE drop out of your score as a risk.
But I'm saying, would you captain him, like, on Sunday?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't own him, so no, I wouldn't. I don't think it's if I was holding Turbo and he was playing, I mean you own Turbo to captain him, don't you? Like, that he's like, his upside is
unbelievable. not with a higher increased risk of a hamstring, Dan.
No, you've got so many options now. That extra flex position gives you that extra the vice captain option. So in terms of, you know, Caelan Ponga looks good at the moment. I'm going to captain him, and then the VC on Nico Hines, who with his 86 on the weekend, that was an easy 86 for him. It was actually a frustrating 86. So he's got the potential to go 130 plus quite easily. He'll be my VC with Ponga on the C. Looks pretty safe at the moment.
Yep. I'm with you. Ponga C, and I'll be going Hines VC as well. I think Walsh is still a VC option if you've got him, with a view then to see Ponga the following day, or even see Hines. Like, I know that some people are thinking about that. Ryan Pappenhausen for Thursday night, little VC, start the round, Tubes.
Look, if you owned him, you'd be thinking about it for sure. I think the smartest play you've just outlined is VC Hines, C Ponga. Itchy fingers Thursday night, Friday nights, though. Love to see those games with a vice captaincy option, just for that extra. Yeah, I've currently got VC Hines, C Ponga, but I've already mentally gone 90% chance I'll be VC in Walsh come Friday night.
How do you guys feel about big boy season captains? Payne Haas, Terrell May. Just lock and load on from a captain perspective. I'll start with you, Dan.
You could do. It's a little bit boring, I guess. You know, you want to see some attacking flair. You want to go for a bit more high risk, high reward there. I mean, straight C on Payne Huss, if you're just trying to solidify your week, I don't see as a bad option.
I don't think you can straight C anyone. That's just not straight C is not a straight C is not an option anymore.
I don't mean straight C as in do it. I still think you definitely need a VC beforehand.
Correct.
I'm just saying to see those guys. It's hard because like they might get a breather as well. Payne Haas only playing 50 minutes. Could get down to 40? Then his time is capped with his base and his power. Terrell May looks incredible in terms of his fitness and his work rate. But you know, I'm really hoping to try to go 90 plus each week for my captain, vice captain this year. One of them, and very much heavy on the loop this year.
I'd take that a step further. I think this season you have to average over 100 for your captain. That doesn't mean you necessarily need 100 every week, but with the vice captaincy so viable now, you always have to have a high upside VC pick every single week with the option to loop. And that obviously worked out really well for Kalen Ponga loopers last week. And we'll start running some content on the VC loop for our viewers because it's just so important, such a crucial part of the Supercoach game. And this season more than ever, you need to take advantage. Tubes, we might move on to a pod of the week segment now to round us out. We're behind time and I'm going to start with you. Who is your pod of the week for round three?
My pod of the week is a Bulldogs player, the fullback. I know when I said Bulldogs, you probably thought Montoya, but he's minus four break even. So he's on the bubble. My man is Connor Tracy. The sneaky little nice run coming up for the Dogs. So they got the Eels this week, which we've seen be pretty nice for fullbacks. Then they do have the Sharks, but Bunnies, Broncos, Titans. I just think with Burton being out and the fact that they have picked Hayward in that halves role, it just means more attack, I think, goes through Connor Tracy. He's 590K and you can pick him in the centre wing. So I think if you're going to do it, it's not a bad shout for this week before they play the Eels and potentially win by 30.
Yep, not a bad shout at all. Just hopefully Birdo being out doesn't hurt him too much. But he's got a big ceiling. We saw it last year, so I can get on board with that.
Opposite, though, I think.
Potentially.
Goes up.
Potentially. Dan, who are you pitching up for pot of the week?
I obviously had the debate before about not picking up too many Broncos, but I've actually gone for a Bronco as the pot of the week this week. He's not one of the backs. He's one of the forwards. Seen a massive uptick in his work rate this year, so Madge has obviously got a rocket on him. Averaging base plus power average of 60 is Jordan Rickey at 470K. So I think price is good. Looking at that base plus power, you're going to make some cash, maybe 100 to 150, and then obviously got some attacking upside with Broncos going to score a lot of points over the next three. So absolutely could take a flyer on him. But as I said last time, you don't really want to do a mid-range flip or switch to another mid-ranger, so I'd probably downgrade someone like the likes of Jermaine Hopgood to free up some cash to go up to some of the other premiums that you might want this week.
My pot of the week is Sam Stonestreet from the Cronulla Sharks. I was tossing and turning between him and Lockie Galvin, who we spoke about earlier, but we saw a bit of an uptick in Stoney's base on the weekend. He had 32 in base. He obviously scored a couple of tries. That right wing is a very nice place to be at the Cronulla Sharks. They got a nice little run coming up. A couple of harder games with the Dogs and Raiders, but also some nice fixtures as well, and they play in the round 12 bye. So again, probably not the week for Sam Stonestreet, but he's a nice price, 500K, and I think he could be a premium centre wing option for the year. All right, guys, that's going to see us out tonight. It's been a huge pod, one of the biggest of the year for TLT round 3. Thank you very much for joining us, Dan.
Cheers, Matty. Thank you.
And Tubes, I'm backing you in big time for a bounce back this week. Thank you very much to the audience for listening, and thank you, Tubes.
You ready? I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, y'all. I wish I was a baller.